It's Tuesday the 19th of February and you're listening to the Red Army Roundup. I'm your host Paul Hinton and as ever I'm joined by Sean Phillips and Aaron Wren. Hello there, gents.
Hello there, Paul.
Good evening, Paul.
And we are back with loads to listen to, fresh on the heels of our Cock Womble of the Year season so far award from Aaron. We missed another week last week, so we've got a double weekend of games to look back on. The close fought win on Pride Night at home to Coventry. The close fought loss to Guildford the next night, which was one of those bizarre games that I think Sean and I have watched. So we'll probably talk a lot more about the last 3 minutes than we will the first 57. And then the goal fest of a double header against Milton Keynes that we've just come through. As ever, we'll pick a player of the week. We'll speak about some news around the league and in European hockey. With the CHL, we've got some Rahmites. We've had three burning questions that we'll cover. And we'll be previewing the very small matter of the doubleheader in Belfast coming up. So loads and loads to get to. So let's go way back when to Pride Night, Saturday the 9th of Feb, when Coventry came to Cardiff. And a team that have, I think it's safe to say, have caused us a few problems this year. And Aaron really, well, it definitely wasn't any difference, but Coventry pinched the first period 1-0 and, you know, things weren't looking all rosy.
Yeah, you know, like last time we recorded a podcast, I said out of the two games, I was more worried about this one than the Guildford game, and rightly so. You know, Coventry always seem to turn up against us, and even more so when they're fighting for a playoff space. So, you know, it was a hard-fought game. You know, Ben Lake is an absolute killer. Scored a worldie. Well, I think he scored two worldies. I'm jumping ahead on goals here. But I just want to talk about Ben Lake and how good he is. But, you know, he batted one out of the air to pass to himself and beat Bounds, and then he went one-on-one with Bounds and beat him. You know, the guy is a killer around the net, and I think overall against us he was 2+2 or something like that. He's absolutely outstanding. I'd like to think Lord is keeping an eye on him ready for next year. But yeah, hard-fought game. You know, we got the lead and then we kept losing it, and it seemed like we were swapping goals every 2 minutes. And, you know, luckily enough, Morissette got a game winner when we was, what was the word?
Short-handed.
That's the one. When we were short-handed to win us the game and see it out. And my God, was I happy for that goal. So, yeah, definitely a hard-fought game, definitely a battle. Predicted it, though. I didn't expect it to be easy. Danny Stewart seems to have found a way to play against us. All right, often we usually come out the victors, but it's never, ever, ever easy. And I think we were even on games this year against them. I think we got one left to play.
We've lost two, so we must have won. 1-3, I think.
Something like that. But I think we lost one at home.
Yeah, we lost one at home, one on the road. Sean, is, you know, Aaron mentioned the sort of goal swinging for the second game in a row, as it was. The Devils found themselves 3-1 down early on in the second, and again found the reaction. But, you know, for you, it's, you know, and I didn't even realise, like, when from the Devils equalised start of the second period, it was less than a minute later we found ourselves 3-1 down. So, you know, that concentration after we get back in a game, and then, you know, it's almost as if we need a bit of a jump start at the moment, Sean.
Yeah, we really do. And give Coventry a lot of credit, because they came to play and they just did a lot of simple things, put pucks on net. They just caused us chaos, and, you know, they're by no means the most talented team in the league. They definitely have one of the most talented players, and their offense is all but channeled through them. Tim Crowder, I thought, had a brilliant game as well. And their goalie, we didn't test him all that much. I didn't think I thought Coventry were good for their lead, if I'm quite honest with you, because we were pretty poor and didn't do anything worth being in the game at that stage. So, incredibly frustrating. Given we know how Coventry are going to play against us. They come and played exactly the same game against us for the last 2 years, under Danny Stewart, and we just don't seem to have an answer for that. And I'd like to think that we, going forward, would have an answer, but don't be so sure. They seem to have a couple of tricks up their sleeve to Coventry.
Most definitely. But in terms of tricks up the sleeve, that guy, Joey Martin's not a bad one to be able to play. You know, got us back in it quite quickly after they took the lead and then got his second of the night. To tie it up before Fawns gave us the lead, and you know, it just exchanged goals from there on towards the end of the second into the third. It was a wild game, and you know, the start of what's going to become a worrying trend that we'll talk about. In terms of goals conceded, I think we conceded 3 in the previous, in both games the previous weekend against Sheffield and Manchester. Ship 5 against Coventry, and then you know, we go on to ship another 3 against Guildford the next night. You know, as Aaron said, Jake Morissette stepped up big with the shorthanded winner. You know, on a breakaway, gets his own rebound off Mike Hackett and absolutely buries it on the second time of asking, with just literally 2 minutes left on the clock to see it out. I apologise to Aaron. I think we have only played 3 games against Coventry so far. So, we've only been there once. We've got 2 more trips there. We've played them in the Challenge Cup, haven't we? So that's what's...
Yeah, we lost... they hammered us at home in one game in the league, maybe like 6-2, I think it was, when the goalie Koprova got hurt. We went up there, lost at Christmas, won at home at Christmas, and then obviously won last week.
Yeah, but we must have played them at home another time, so we don't play them at home again, but we do go there twice. Both trips you'll be able to come to on Red Army Travel. To plug. got to get him in. Got to get him in. I'm getting him in early this week before everyone switches off. That's Coventry. The next night is, you know, as I said, Sean and myself are there. Sean picking up on the Red Army Roundup play-by-play. So all the way through, you'd have had quite depressing tweets before an absolute crazy flurry towards the end. Sean, the first 57 minutes, though, I think we'll probably do that one a little bit quicker than we do the last 3. Devils didn't offer very much.
Didn't offer very much, and definitely offered much less than Guildford. I think we hit the bar once, maybe the post a second time, but overall we just didn't come to play really. And completely give it credit to Guildford. They were fully deserving of their lead after 57 minutes.
Yeah, and I think Guildford hit the pipes at least once as well, just to so there could have been even more goals in that game. Ben Davies picking one up on the power play. The second goal was just everything you shouldn't do as a team on a power play. With the clock running down, nobody tracked back to cover the box. And Drew Schistel tries to take it round the highest defenceman. Gets caught out, and you know, the puck sent up to Ferguson. Bounce does really well on the breakaway to make the save, but the puck sort of probably was about 10 foot in the air, what it felt like anyway, and just slowly dropped over his shoulder and into the net. So, you know, one of those unfortunate things. And when Guildford got the third, just over halfway through the third period, with a delayed penalty goal, well, that was all she wrote. And, you know, sort of jokingly had a chat about leaving Sean and just doing play-by-play from the car on the way home, just making stuff up because no one could verify. But quite pleased that we stayed.
Just a little bit, yeah.
Obviously, you know, and it's not a surprise at all for Andrew Lord to pull a goalie early when needed. And I think there was about 3 minutes, just over 3 minutes on the clock when Bounds first left. And, you know, with 17:33 on the clock in the third, we got our consolation goal, or so we thought, through Mike Hedden. And then, well, do you want to take it from there, Sean?
And we look at each other and sort of think, yeah, you know, we get one. And then Mark Richardson gets one from the high slot. And we look at each other again and just think, surely not. Surely it can't be done. And Joey Martin with, what was it, 36 seconds left on the clock?
36 seconds
complete
on the clock.
3 goals with the goalie pulled. I've never seen anything like it. And you look at the game sheet and the last 4 goals in the game were scored with the goalie pulled on advantage. It's absolutely mental. Obviously, Gilbert having the delayed penalty goal, and then us scoring three with Ben Bounds sat on the bench. What an absolutely mental couple of minutes. There wasn't a bad travelling support for a Sunday night, and no one saw that coming. And
you have to have been extremely optimistic or certifiable to have even considered it.
Oh, for sure.
If with 3 minutes left, if Devils have been banging on the door all period and you're 3-0 down, maybe you've got some basis in optimism, but we hadn't made a lot of chances at the time, especially not clear-cut chances. But with Bounds pulled, I think I can remember the puck leaving the zone once, and that was after the second goal. And that play, to be fair, he didn't quite get it to the halfway line, and he decided just to chip it very slowly into the Devil's zone, not to risk an icing with a shot on goal. And pretty much, though, the puck went straight back in the zone, and it was within seconds that we scored that I think he probably would have been thinking he should have had a pop. And it's obviously having the webcast and the speed at which the tweets were being sent about goals, I think they were probably coming out in all sorts of weird orders. But the Devils had a chance to clinch it. 15 seconds left. A bit of a rocket of a shot at Carosi from the slot, and he managed to stop it with his shoulder, and the puck just sat in the crease for probably about half a second, but it felt like an eternity before he managed to cover it, while you're just watching every Devils player feeling like they're skating through treacle. And it's crazy to think that we scored 3 goals in 3 minutes, but even after that, we had a chance to tie the game up to take the game in regulation.
Yeah, we did. And, you know, after the first one, Guildford sort of tightened up a little bit, and they sort of, you know, collapsed very quickly. We then do what we've done brilliantly this year, and from the point, just getting pucks on net, Schistel throwing pucks on net, Richie getting a goal, little things, doing exactly what Guildford have been known to do against us, just putting all their offense from the point, and it worked fantastically for us. And as you said, we nearly grabbed it. And I thought when the buzzer went and it took to overtime, to get a point out of that game, knowing that Belfast had lost in overtime in Nottingham, was, you know, to know that we'd at least match them and that we could go on and possibly get another one from the position we were in not 4 minutes earlier was absolutely crazy. And over time, I thought we were the better side by far. I don't think Guildford offered anything, and the momentum was with us. And we should have put it to bed in overtime. We had loads of chances. Carosi stood tall, made some brilliant saves, and it comes down to ultimately our Achilles heel in the shootout.
Yeah, 3 shootouts this year, 3 losses, and I think it's 4 goals in 17 shots, I think I made it. Only Hedden and Longley have converted. They've got 2 apiece, and you know, everyone else has failed to do it. And you know, Hedden got us off to the perfect start, scoring the first, and Longley with a crucial one in the 5th and final shot to take it to sudden death, where Hedden missed. But if we're going to talk the shootout, I think the only thing that we can talk about is
Kaliakarad. Like, goodness me.
Who moves, Sean, that are just straight out of NHL 19?
Oh, yeah. Just sheer filth from Kaliakarad. And I think Ferguson took one, which was an absolute rocket top shelf. But that was a great shot. You cannot talk about anything except for Kaliakarad's penalty shot. It was absolutely out of this world. As you said, the sort of thing you would see in a video game. And you give him some credit. You've got to have some balls to do that. To pull one move is insane. But then to go and pull the second one and absolutely fake the British number one out of his pads, what can you do? I thought Bouncy was solid for us as well in the game overall. Bit unlucky on the second goal. They break away and it goes up and over him. And in the shootout, I thought he was fantastic. Very solid on a lot of the shots, but there's just no goalie in the league who's going to stop a guy full of confidence going down on the shootout like Kaliakarad on that. No one stops it. It just doesn't happen. If you've got a guy that confident going that speed to the net who's got the cojones to pull that move, you ain't stopping him.
Just to point out the size of the stones it took to do it. Yeah. In the sudden death, Akarad shot before Hedden. So he's pulling a move where if he messes it up, Devils have got a chance to just go and win the game. You know, the absolute Stones to do that is insane. So got to give him all the credit in the world. And the second one where you just leave, deep it one way and just leave the puck and tap it in around the goalie is my favourite penalty shot to see. And as it happened live, I even struggled. Or did he win? I can't remember if he scored the winner in the end, but.
No, we missed it. We missed the last shot, didn't we?
Because I thought it was
back to sudden death and the, order switches, yeah.
Yeah, so, you know, if Hedman missed and you pull a move, nothing ventured, nothing gained type of thing, you just go to another round, but, you know, he was putting all his eggs in that basket and, well, it was just to watch it live, I was struggled to be disappointed that he'd scored because I enjoyed it so much. That was the end of the weekend. As Sean said, obviously Panthers sort of turned up for a game that wasn't against Cardiff, which was nice, and, you know, took Giants into overtime and won it there. So, you know, thanks to the Panthers for playing their backup in that game of all games. Obviously, if you're playing the second place team, you always put your backup in for that one when you're at home. Not that I'm at all annoyed that they only bother against Cardiff this year, but there we go. We don't play them again. And we matched Belfast on the weekend, keeping our point lead with the game in hand. And then bottom of the league, Milton Keynes came to Cardiff. So a nice, easy weekend.
Or so we thought.
Yes. famous last words. Aaron, I mentioned that in the Coventry game, it was the second game in a row that we went 3-1 down. First period. Third home game in a row. There's the Devils sat 3-1 down. what were your thoughts on how that first period went?
Oh, you know, it's just typical, isn't it? You know, you get you know, a bottom of the league team struggling for, you know, goals, points, anything, you know, down a good number of players. And, you know, you expect to, like, honestly, before the game, I was like, oh, I don't really want to go tonight now. It's not going to be that good. It's going to be one of them games where we're sitting round 5-1 up after the first period, and it's just going to be a drag for the rest of it. Well, I could not have been more wrong. You know, was it 3-1 or was it 4-1 we went down?
It was 3-1 at the end of the first, and I think you thought two goals, maybe we could get it back, and, you know, it took less than two minutes for Milton Keynes to extend that to 4-1.
Yeah, go 4-1 down. And I was honestly in so much shock. It's unbelievable. I was like, league's gone. I was like, that's Paul talking. I wasn't mad. But I was like, oh, here we go. Dropping 2 points tonight now. Could do without this. All this kind of stuff. And, you know, big man Joey effing Martin steps up. Biggest player, he's only 5 foot, he says 5'10" on Elite Prospects, pushing it. But, you know, comes out and he's 5'10", skates like he's 7'12", but that means he's 8 foot, and he's just an absolute unit. He was just unbelievable, scored two worldy goals. To get us within one, I think it was Fournier.
Mm-hmm.
Marty Benty Ritchie scored the three goals to tie it up.
Yeah, in that order. But we got back tied up, and, you know, I was full of hope again, and yet again, within a couple of minutes of us tying it up, we conceded another goal. I just think it wasn't a good night defensively. Bounds couldn't have done a lot with the goals. A couple of them were deflections, and, you know, I think he's got, I don't want to really say it, but I think he's got a little bit of a tell this year. You know, if we go high glove side, a lot of us have noticed it. You know, I wouldn't say nine times out of ten, but often he gets scored on a lot of the goals were high on him on the weekend. But defence didn't help out at all. We weren't great. It was just lucky we had a couple of, you know, good players who could score. And, you know, being 4-1 down, I definitely thought we was out of it, because Kurosy is, you know, he's a shutout. He closes his games down so well.
Killeen,
that's him. He closes games down so well. Really good goalie, and he kept him in it for as much as he could. But you know, after that halfway through that second period, we were just unstoppable. And I did have hope, and I did expect it to win after that. I did think it would go to overtime, maybe. But, you know, we got away with it in the end.
Yeah, Sean, as you know, Aaron said, Milton Keynes getting that goal at the end of the second to just retake the lead again. You were just a one-goal lead at that stage. Were you confident that, you know, our extra bodies, that extra class would probably tell, and you know, any nerves that you might have had earlier on weren't quite as bad at that stage?
Yeah, I thought the comeback we'd already made gave me enough confidence that we could come back and at least take it to overtime and do the damage there, because they were going to be blowing come overtime. Thankfully, we didn't need that. When Aaron was talking about what he was expecting going into the game, a fairly new fan came up to me and asked me if they thought it was a winnable game. And I think my exact words were, it's totally winnable. And if we don't win with the amount of bodies they've got, they should be throwing us out of the league. So, you know, kind of made a rod for my own back on that one.
Well, it's always good for new fans to realise how little you know really. It took some of us a little bit longer, so yeah, fair play to them. Worth noting, couple of incidents aside from the 11 goals that we saw. Obviously, there was the headbutting from Mazanek, who got a match penalty, which was downgraded to 2+2 for attempted headbutting, because he didn't actually connect. In terms of that rule, I find it absolutely
ludicrous.
Ridiculous. If you throw a headbutt, especially wearing a helmet, I don't really care if it lands or not. That surely is a match penalty. It's the intent is there. Obviously, if the guy gets injured, up the penalty, give more matches. But if you throw a head on someone, you should be looking at a match penalty minimum. And I'm sure someone told me that it wasn't his first offence of it either this season. So in which case, even if it was attempted, surely Dom should be looking at that and thinking, this guy. Was it our equalising goal that there was the Bentivoglio incident?
I feel like it was the third. I don't know. I feel like it was the first goal.
Ah, okay. Obviously it wasn't.
The first goal cutting into it. Sorry. The first goal of the game was Dixon, and I feel like Joey Martin from Bentivoglio and Hedden, 4:54. So that times it ties in with approximately. Yeah, I'm pretty certain it was that first in the stretch of the comeback.
So yeah, so obviously Milton Keynes' play was down in front of his own net, wasn't unconscious. I think he was. I think the referee saw him looking around and decided not to blow his whistle. I think the rule book was shared as well, and unless it's a serious injury, the whistle should be blown the next time that his team touches the puck. Just so happened that Joey Martin got the puck and scored. On review, Benty had hit him in the head and got a match penalty, meaning he'd missed the Sunday game. Having seen the video, Aaron, did you think it was a fair call, two match ban?
Yeah, you can't really argue with it really, you know. It's not the first time we've seen Benty do something like this. You know, he catches him on the blind side, elbows up, and it's him in the face. All right, I don't think it was as serious as people are making it out to be. You know, he was fine. Like you said, he was looking around, seeing that we was on a breakaway, and, you know, thought he could get something out of it, but luckily for us, he didn't. So, but yes. Unfortunate we get to miss Benty, but you can't argue with it. You know, it's deserved. He shouldn't have done it. I don't see how it was. Well, you probably could say it was unavoidable, but I think it's just where his arms were. You know, his arms were so high, contact was made, and you know, it's a fair penalty. You can't argue with it. It's seen in multiple angles, and you know, a check the head is a check the head. You can't take nothing away from it, really.
And Milton Keynes right to feel hard done by, Sean. Obviously, if I'd been seen by the referee, you were potentially looking at a completely different game.
Yeah, for sure. It's like you said, on the ice, if that's cool, we don't go and momentum is obviously with them. They go on the power play, and that's a totally different. You're looking at possibly a totally different outcome of the game, but them's the breaks. We managed to get lucky on that one. I'm not convinced by the video, actually. Looking at it, it looks like it's to his chest more than anything, but I have only watched it the once, so I'll give it another look. But
I saw it on the bus on the way to Milton Keynes, and I think I watched it once and was like, well, his elbow just went straight into his chin. It was,
yeah.
As soon as I saw it, I thought, that's clear as day, two games as a minimum. If it was any less, I'd have been surprised, and
okay.
If it was against you, you'd probably want a bit more. And you're worth saying, whilst we got lucky that obviously we didn't go on the kill, we scored a goal, we scored another one while we still would have been killing as well, but you think back to the wrestling incident, should have, you got a ban retrospectively. We ended up on the kill after that. So, these things, they all work out in the end. They don't usually.
Swings around.
You take them when you get them, and you just got to suck them up when they go against you. So, as Aaron said, we went into Sunday in Milton Keynes, missing Bentivoglio. Milton Keynes were able to welcome Mazanek back after his ban was downgraded, but I think one of their players, whose name also began with an M, who I can't remember now, was injured his shoulder, I believe.
Meidel?
Meidel, that was the one. Ended up staying in Cardiff in hospital for the evening, and only came back in the morning. And I think they're expecting a bit of a long-term break for him. So yet another body out for Milton Keynes, which you'd like to think would make things a bit easier for the Devils, and well, the first period it really did. The most crazy start to a game I've seen in a while, though, that we had the initial face off. By the time the puck had left the centre circle, Matt Pope had decided to shove someone skating past him for absolutely no reason. That one of the most stupid things I've seen on the ice. And 6 seconds left, you're on a penalty. 6 seconds gone, you're on a penalty kill. Whilst in the act of killing the penalty, Mark Lewis manages to take a tripping penalty, and after 19 seconds, we're on a 5-on-3, and you just head in hands. I was just thinking, I just don't know if it's going to be one of these nights. It's going to be a really long night. Unsurprisingly, Milton Keynes converted on it 44 seconds into the game, and the Devils are a goal down. And I was just thinking, why yet again am I Sunday night, nowhere near Cardiff, watching us playing in not the greatest of ice rinks, and we're doing stuff like this? And I was just, I was taking a long, hard look at my life choices. But my life choices turned out all right, thanks to Joey Martin, because everything is thanks to Joey Martin at the moment. And the Devils just went crazy. And Sean, I think you had the webcast, and it just felt like wave after wave of Devils attacks, and some of the finishing from the Devils was absolutely out of this world as well.
Yeah, some really, really pretty plays. We really got our act together after going on the kill, as you said. And just really, really clinical. Very, very pretty. Some good cycling, tape to tape passes. Offensively, we were killer. It looked like the team that was, blowing opposition teams away early on in the season. And at the end of the first, it was all but over. And for the first time in I think it's probably in 4 or 5 games, we didn't go down by 2 goals. We did not have a 2-goal deficit at any time for the first time in about 4 games.
And that was exciting. And we all sat for a nice, comfortable, relaxing 40 minutes of ice hockey before the drive home. And then the Devils thought, nah, we're not going to do anything like that. We took penalties at a rate of knots. We took another 5-on-3. This one, we waited a little bit longer. It took 45 seconds of the second period till we were on a 5-on-3. Had Adam Myers taking penalties. Managed to kill it. Surprisingly, before conceding another goal. So 5-2, nothing in it. So the Devils thought, wow, we could do with a bit more practice killing a 5-on-3. So Reddick takes a penalty, bounce fires the puck over the glass, and yet again, Milton Keynes get themselves a power play goal, 5-on-3, and I was just in panic. It was properly like, we're going to throw this away. It was around, I think it might even be when they scored their second goal 15 minutes into the period, that for the first time I noticed that Patrick Killeen had been pulled at the end of the first, and Adam Goss, who's about 5 foot shorter than him, was in net. So there was it was just, the puck was that end of the ice so little, I didn't even notice they had like a half size goalie in. It was crazy. Luckily though, the goal that we pulled, that we got back from Longley with 2 minutes left, even though Milton Keynes scored after that, just put it to bed. I think it made sure Milton Keynes had a 2-goal deficit to come back from in the third, and I think very much the same as Saturday night. Their lack of bodies started to tell, and you know, they had a couple of chances, but they really couldn't do anything to make it count. And you know, I don't think the result was ever in doubt, even though it was never out of sight. But just absolute huge credit to Milton Keynes.
Oh, without a doubt.
You know, as you know, long-term Devils fans, we've seen our team, you know, be in that position where you're playing with, you know, barely three lines, and you know, to see a team give their all against the top of the league for 120 minutes was really, really good. You look at their points total through the season, Aaron, it seems like they're a team that, you know, you could disparagingly describe them as the new Edinburgh. You know, they've obviously picked up probably three times as many points, I think, pretty much, and have got points against most of them. But, you know, their performances on the ice not necessarily reflected in their position or their points total in the league.
No, you know, they've got a number of really, really good players. You know, Valdix, Tim Wallace. I'm not even going to try and butcher the guy's name, but whoever plays in 19. You know, that's just three off the top of my head. That Cole Shudra is another one who I think, you know, is going to be some incredible player in the near future. They've got quality through their lineup, and like you said, I don't think that their position in the league really affects their standings. I think there's a lot of things that's going on behind the scenes that isn't helping. You know, their coach left. Well, first of all, he came in late. Then he left, and you know, you've got Tim Wallace, who, you know, he's trying to do all the jobs at once, and you know, it can't be easy on him, and it's unfortunate for him because, you know, the quality they got in their lineup, they should be further up the table. But you know, I think their results are coming very few and far between, and you know, if they can score that number of goals against, you know, top of the league teams, there's no reason why they shouldn't be beating other teams around the league, and it's just unfortunate for them. I do feel it's, you know, it's like another Edinburgh scenario where coming towards the end of the season, you feel a little bit sorry for them. But you know, it's just how the table goes. You've got to pick up the points where you can, and they don't seem to be doing that at the moment. So hopefully we'll see them stick around next year. But who knows? There's so many rumours bouncing about the league that I don't even want to talk about them. But yeah, I genuinely do feel for them, because the Milton Keynes we've seen over the weekend were in the Milton Keynes are shown in the standings.
Yeah, that sums it up. And yeah, definitely hope to see them in the league. It's a nice little setup in Milton Keynes, and you know, good fan base. They travel really well as well. You're always a lot of noise in Cardiff when Milton Keynes come to town. So that was the fortnight. Just the 17 goals conceded over the four games. Yeah, not at all worrying. But let's have a player of the week, Sean.
Joey Martin, first, second, and third for the last 2 weeks. Can't be anybody else. Has absolutely dragged us through what's been a really, really tough couple of weeks against teams that shouldn't have been difficult. Really, we struggled, and that's a guy who's put the puck in the net at will on an absolutely rich rain of form at the moment, and I've seen a couple of tweets from the same Belfast fan who've not had kind words to say about him due to his comeback goals, and you just can't write off a team with Joey Martin in the lineup because he's that good, and he's bringing his best at the tail end of the season when we need him most, and yeah, plain and simply Joey Martin.
Yeah, I'll nip in quickly to say Joey Martin, and just the four games that we're talking about, he's picked up, I just had it in my head, 10 points, and 7 of those have been goals, so 7 goals in 4 games, and that's, you know, games that we've lost by 1, 2 by 1, and one the other one by 2, so he's been the difference probably in all of those games, so Joey Martin clutch. without a shadow of doubt, absolutely. Aaron, are we sweeping?
Of course we are. Like I said earlier, he's a 5'10" player who plays like he's 7'12". World class.
He look more 7'13" to me.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. But yeah, he's class. I just can't believe that. Like, if you think about it, he came to the club, what was it, 5 years ago, and standard that the league was then compared to where it is now is, you know, it's like a massive leap, and Joey Martin, without fail, you know, steps up to the plate every single year, gets better, and it's just, you know, where would we be without Joey Martin is the thing. You know, he's so clutch, scores big goals. You know, he had an hat trick on Saturday. He is just key, absolute key to this team, and if we haven't got him signed down to a 52-year contract where he can't, you know, he got to retire at 65 like everyone else in the UK, then there's something wrong, yeah. But, yeah,
Just need to ask a favour. Can you never ask where we'd be without Joey Martin again? Because it just puts thoughts in the mind.
Oh, yeah.
You don't need to think. Like, come
exactly,
on.
Exactly. Do you know what I mean? It's a scary thought to process. You know, we all thought the same about Andrew Otham, but we managed to replace him, but I very much doubt we'll be able to replace Joey Martin. He's going to be talked about for years and years and years and years to come. We've all heard stories about Moria and players like that, but, you know, I think Joey Martin is the best player ever to put a devil shirt on. I know that's a big thing to say, but I can't talk on most of the players that played for us, but for a player to get good as he is over the years and put up more points each year, you know, it's just something different. And I think he's the only player this year that ever missed a beat all year, and you know, that's hard to say because we got quality all the way through the lineup, but he's been class from game one to game now, and he's the best around.
That Joey Martin Appreciation Society can come to a close there and congratulate Joey Martin on his, well, second Player of the Week in a row. But if we'd have bothered recording last week, he would have had 3 in a row because, you know, based on the Blaze and Flames games, he'd have been it as well. So well done him. Quickly, the news that came out that due to them losing the Continental Cup final, that Belfast will be in the CHL. Kazakhstan don't have an affiliation with the competition, so I've totally forgotten the name of the winners. They won and they can't enter. And I think the decision was made that based on Belfast having hosted 2 successful tournaments and going all the way to sudden death penalties, that it was right to award them what is the second spot for the Elite League. And it's been confirmed that the team that finishes runners-up, if Belfast were to win the league, would get a CHL spot. So barring pretty
total
much
collapse.
A collapse. I think if Bray had won out, I think we need to lose 6 games for them to finish above us. So, you know, if you'd like to think that, and if that happens, we wouldn't deserve it anyway. So you'd like to think that there'll be CHL hockey in Cardiff for the third year. We've waxed lyrical about it a lot, so we won't go too far in depth, but, you know, big news for the league, Sean, and, you know, obviously, from a selfish point of view, probably good news for the Devils.
Yeah. Like you said, it's great for Belfast. That's a team which has challenged for every trophy the last couple of years and has built very, very good sides. They've shown that they can host competitions in the Continental Cup, the Friendship Four, the Bruins go in there. I know that's a good couple of years ago now, but they really show an ambition to drive the game forward in Northern Ireland, and it's about time that they have a shot at the CHL. They're a big club. You're very, very lucky in Britain that the only slot that you get is for the league winner, and that's why it's a real privilege to go to Europe and fly the flag. And obviously the last 2 years that's been us. It was Nottingham, in the same year as us, the 1 year, and Sheffield and Nottingham have also done it in the past. Brayhead as well, yeah. It's a real, real buzz, and the Giants fans are in for a massive, massive treat. Like you said, hopefully, with barring a total collapse, we'll get to do it again next year, and the chance to, it reminds me a little in the way of people talk about, the magic of the FA Cup and giant killings, and I really, really get up for CHL games in that way, because we don't get to be the underdogs that often these days, because we're such a good side and such a force in the British League, and I kind of like that. I kind of like now that you other people talk about Liverpool in the Champions League and all that sort of thing, and the European nights at Anfield, and you look at the European nights that we've had in Cardiff, and they stack up with some of my greatest ever Devils memories. So, like you said, I know we didn't want to wax lyrical too much about it, but it's the best competition there is, and glad that we most likely get to go and do another trip and host some fantastic teams next year.
I did know that by mentioning CHL and throwing over to you that there was going to be a bit of a bit of a monologue from you about how much you love it and how important it is. Aaron, aside from the Devils' point of view, it's a good representation of how the British League is growing in standing with European clubs.
Well, yeah, if you think about it, Nottingham won that trophy that Belfast were in. We have never been in it because we're too good, but that one that Nottingham won, Continental Cup. Belfast, made the final. It just proves that we're not quite there, but we can compete with some of the teams at that standard. We didn't get the greatest competition this year, but we didn't get blown away either. Every game we played was really close, within a goal or two, a couple of overtime losses. We really competed in that, and I think it proves that, Belfast are a good team. This will probably open up some more funds for them, that they can bring in more better players, and they're probably going to do very well next in the CHL as well. But so it's great news for them. Every time we are there, I think it was 2 or 3 years ago when we finished second and it was only one place available, and then we had to win it to go to it, then we had to win it again to go to it, and now it's another space. It's just our luck in it. We could have been in the last 4 years in a row, really. But I'm excited to see Belfast in it. Maybe we can meet them
in the round of 16.
Meet them in the round of 16, get them out the way, and we're in the round of 8. That'd be good, wouldn't it? let's just see how we go. I'm excited. It's gonna be great. Happy for Belfast. I'm glad it's a little bit on a technicality as well, because at least we can say we earned it when we got there. They got there on a technicality.
Yeah, I like that. That was more. We're running really long, so we are going to be. If you sent in a burning question, we might not get to them all. But sure, I think we have had our nights, which we will get to.
We did indeed. Yeah, we had a Ramite from Greg Hewish. I love Joey Martin's goal streak. Hate the fans' reaction to the Dops verdict. Obviously, talking in regards to the suspension of. Go on.
I was going to say, I can imagine it's nearly any Dops verdict that ever gets put out that everyone always feels totally hard done by.
Mm-hmm. I think that was our only Ramite.
Oh, I might have overbigged that up. Fair enough. So, Come on, guys. You everyone's made me look silly now. So get your Ramites in. There'll be absolutely loads in Belfast of things to Ramite. There's also going to be loads of people there. So get tweeting. We've had a question, Sean, I think from Kenwyn Jones regarding Ben Bounce.
Yeah. Kenwyn Jones asks, I fully understand due to how good the Giants are this season, the reason why Bounce has been iced almost all season. But should we have taken the risk and played Murdy for a few games just to give Ben Bounce a rest to lessen the injury risk? Aaron, thoughts?
I think, you know, apart from the beginning of the year when we were blowing teams away, I don't really think there's been a game where Bounce hasn't been huge for us. You know, a lot of our games have been really close. You think of all the games that, you know, went to overtime. All right, we did lose and stuff like that. Went to overtime when we went through that period. You know, Bounce has been huge for us. And I think he's deserved to play every single minute he's played. He have missed a couple of easy goals that he'll want back here and there. But I think, if we did put Murdy in for the game, like take here for this weekend, for instance, you know, we're playing Milton Keynes back to back. Do you play Murdy in those games and keep Bounce fit for the Belfast weekend? You know, would the way Milton Keynes played, would we have come away with them results? You know, although, you know, we did leak a lot of goals, I do think Ben Bounce made some key saves that kept us in both games. So, you know, it's hard to say. I think it's about time we probably start looking at getting another goalie in, like maybe an import goalie or something like that, so Bounce can split his ice time, you know, because at the end of the day, the league doesn't end for Bounce after the Elite League, you know, is playing carries on for another couple of weeks. You know, he's got some of the biggest games of his life again after the Elite League finishes in GB. I know me and Sean aren't really bothered about GB, but for Bounce, you know, it's a massive step. So maybe this year he could have done without playing so many games, you know, got a little bit more rest in. But I think, you know, Murdy's not a bad netminder. He is a really solid netminder. But I think Bounce has been too key for us in certain points for us this season. You know, there have been situations where we've been a goal or two up and, you know, teams are coming at us with everything they've got and Bounce have made, like, double saves and things like that. Would Murdy have necessarily made them saves? Do you know what I mean? It's so hard to say, but for me, I think we've needed Bounce pretty much in every game we've had since November, maybe even October. So I don't think that's a fair. I wouldn't like to see him Bounce play on all them games, but it's what you got to do to win games, really. I know. So
I think overall, pretty much agree. I think I think in the league anyway, Moody's had 47 minutes of ice time this year. I think when you look back, as Aaron said, at those games where we were blowing teams away, I think maybe we were a little bit hesitant to put him in at times, but really overall, that probably would have added up to another 30 minutes maybe at most. So, since then, we've probably not had that much of an opportunity. I think the league has moved on. I think the standard of goalkeeping has gone up again. That, you know, you look this year, you know, Killeen is, if you go on save percentage, he's not massively ahead of Bounce, but 0.01 ahead at the moment. But you've got guys like Killeen who's come in, who's, you know, really good, very excellent even Milton Keynes. Garnett is kicked on from last year with Nottingham, and I think the standard has gone up that little bit, and I just think that the quality, both in other teams' netminding and on the ice, is that, you know, I really see Murdy struggling to get ice time going forward. I totally agree with Aaron that, you know, an important netminder needs to at very least be a consideration for next year to share the load, unless there's a prospect for it somewhere that we can afford. Bounce has played in every league game. I think Bounce has played in part of at least every game we've had this year so far. If that carries on, and if we were to make the playoffs, that'll be 70 games that he'll have played in. So, 60 in the league, 6 in the Challenge Cup, and then four in the playoffs. So it's a lot of games. Even it'd be 72, sorry, because I forgot that we actually got to another knockout round to the Challenge Cup. And there's another three games that we didn't get to because we got knocked out. So you think he's looking at 75 competitive games on top of CHL, on top of preseason. It's too much, but I just don't think there's been the option there. And, you know, to add to it, it seems like Thomas Moody is also filling a lot of the kit duties. He's, you know, handing out sticks. He's fixing helmets on the bench at the moment. So, you know, we lose that if he's then on the ice. So, you know, potentially that's another reason to keep him on the bench a bit longer. So, yeah, Bams has played too much, but I don't think with what we've got, I don't really think there's been an option to do anything about it, unfortunately.
Yeah, totally agree. Another burning question from Michael Brain. Has Fournier been the surprise of the season, or was it expected with Hotham leaving? Paul, what are your thoughts on that? We've seen Fournier already break a record for Cardiff Devils, the highest points total of the Elite League era, and could go on to you know, break a league record. Do you see him doing that? He's broken it with, what, I think it's 12 games to spare, something like that?
Yeah, I think we've got 14 left in the league.
Yeah.
Chasing the Puck did, you know, a good article on that with the projections of him being, you know, potentially right up there with the record from Steve Galacci in one of the first Elite League years. Yes, it is a surprise. I think everyone expected him to step up into that number one D-man position. I think any time that you've got a defenseman who's scoring, you know, 62 points after... if you've got a defenseman who scores 62 points, that's pretty much a surprise. If that defenseman has done that in 46 games and is plus 55, that's a shock. You know, it's not expected. If you had a forward running at this pace, you'd be happy. You know, Fournier's only 2 points off the top scorer in the entire league and he's a defenseman. So... Crazy. Yeah, it was expected for him to step up and, you know, really step into those shoes. But he's stepped in, he's filled them, and then some. It's absolutely phenomenal what he's done this season so far. Yeah, and Sean, I think then a question from Greg Hewish as well.
Yeah, Greg Hewish asks, is the amount of goals we are conceding concerning at the moment? I don't have the stats in front of me at the moment, Paul, but we have been leaking goals over
the last four.
That's, you know, it ain't good going to Belfast with the big old double header coming up, is it?
So, you know, Aaron, what level of concern is that for you?
As long as we score more than we concede, I couldn't care less. I think it is unfortunate. I do think defence needs to buck their ideas up a little bit. You know, I think we've been leaking a little bit too many, but it is what it is. It's not a massive concern yet, but we'll see how we get on in the future.
Yeah, I'm definitely concerned, but, you know, we can run straight into Belfast from this. You know, they shipped five goals on Sunday as well. You know, went over to Brayhead and lost 5-0, having won on Thursday in the Challenge Cup, to make the final, and then beating them seemingly quite comfortably on Saturday. All went off the rails a bit on the Sunday night, and, you know, 5-0 win for Clan, which it extends the Devils' lead to 3 points, still with a game in hand. So, as we're going straight into the weekend, Sean, does that take the pressure off the Devils a little bit and put a little bit more on Belfast?
Yeah, I think it does in a way. You look at the outcome, and worst case, if we lose both games and win our game in hand, we're still a point ahead and Belfast need a favour from somebody. If we split it, we're exactly where we are, and if we take four, then you can almost sign, seal it and deliver the trophy. I couldn't see us losing it from there if we get four. Belfast, I think Belfast need to take four this weekend. I really do. I really think Belfast need to take the whole weekend, or at least get better what we get. If they gain a point on us, then, you know, I think they'll take that right now, if I'm quite honest.
We've got three games against the Clan left ourselves, so that's, you know, they're the form team at the minute. They are having a charge for that second spot as well, which, you know, whichever team out of us and Belfast do worse this weekend, they'll have right in their sights. So, yeah, it's an interesting one. Aaron, for you, is it all on Belfast to go out and get something now?
To be honest, I don't care. I just don't care what Belfast do. I just want to, you know, Saturday night is the biggest night of the weekend. I think if we take 2 points on Saturday, I don't care what happens Sunday. We can split the
Friday, yeah.
Yeah, Friday and Saturday, yeah, blah, 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 whatever. If we can split the weekend, I'll be more than happy. But Friday night is key. We need to get them 2 points anyway or how, and put all the pressure on Giants to show up on the Saturday night. Then, you know, if we can do that, we can play our hockey on Saturday night, play how we want to play our hockey, and we can almost dictate the game, which will suit us, hopefully. Belfast, if they want a chance for this league title, they've got to come away with all four. You know, they're three down with an hour game in hand, so that's possibly 5 points. They need us, and then they even if they take the four, they'll still need us to drop a game between then and the end of the season to win. So, you know, they'll be begging for favors, whereas we are just, you know, begging for the 4 points, even 2 points. I'll take 2 points now. It's going to be, every weekend up until the end of the season is the toughest weekend of the year, but this one we've all had eyes on for such a long time. It feels like it's been an age waiting for it to come. It's going to be scary. Saturday night, Friday night, sorry. I'm just nervous. Don't know what to expect. We're shipping a lot of goals. A lot of players are drying up. It's going to be a tough one. Hopefully Belfast will have a couple of players out as well. You know, because we are missing Benty on that Friday night through his ban. The nerves are set. Why did we have to talk about it?
On that point, I think Darcy Murphy missed both games this weekend. You know, with Furlan coming back, having been sat for a little while. I don't know if it's been announced that that's an injury, but, you know, the way Murphy's scoring, you struggle to see him being a healthy scratch 2 nights in a row. I don't think Dwyer finished the game Sunday, from reports that I read. And from looking at the video, I would be quite surprised if Kevin Rayne isn't looking at a suspension of a game or two for his check through the numbers on Fitzgerald. That was quite a nasty check. And we're recording on a Tuesday, so I think docs usually announce on a Wednesday. So we're potentially going a little bit early, but, you know, there's a possibility of them missing a couple. Short, you know, Ben Tavolio out on Friday, going to be a big loss for Zelda. Obviously, I think we're on the assumption that we'll still be missing Evan Mosey as well. So an import short without a spare. And, you know, Mosey was doing so well, and, you know, crucial against Belfast as well, getting the game winner. So Friday night's going to be a tough one missing Ben Tavolio.
Yeah, and I think Aaron Reed makes a very good point, and that's the big one, because you take those 2 points from that game, and the pressure is off on the second one. Belfast have to win it. It's all pressure on them, and we get another body back in Sean Bentivoglio, a little bit of energy into the system. He's fresh, and yeah, I'd like to think that we go all out on that Saturday. And then Sunday, anything's a bonus. You know, it's the old cliche. You say before the weekend, you'll take a split. And then after, if you win the first game on the Saturday, you get in with a split. It happens all the time. But it's going to be a tough old contest. Our defense has to step up badly. I know the Belfast have been shipping goals, but we talked about it being battle of the goaltenders in the home doubleheader. And this is another one. Going over to Belfast, the two, in my mind, two of the best goalies in the league. One of them's going to be a league champion at the end of the year, and a lot of it will depend on the outcome of this weekend.
Yeah, I feel so. so sick with nerves right now.
Me too.
Why did we have to talk about it? I was quite calm right up until we moved into the Belfast section. Friday is going to be
Titanic.
Yes, and a lot of gibbering wrecks. There are absolutely crazy numbers. I think looking at potentially up to 600 people at Devils fans being there for it. I expect the atmosphere both nights to be off the charts in the SSE. So I am massively looking forward to it, though. It's horrible, isn't it? It's really horrible. And all I keep thinking, and I'm going to say it out loud in the hope that I'm reverse jinxing it, but we surely do a bad weekend over there.
Yeah, that's it, isn't it?
So well for, what, 3-4 years? We've
I think we split twice and then took 4 the 1 year.
So the last 3 years we've come out with at least a split, and I feel so sick. We're just gonna have to end the show so we can all go and vomit. If you're going to Belfast,
it's funny, isn't it? Someone says like, are you looking forward to Belfast this week? I'm really looking forward. Everyone's like, oh, I'm really looking forward to it. Really looking forward to it, and we're just like, no, it's the worst weekend of the year. We are sick to our stomachs at the thought of it. We're going on holiday and we're not looking forward to it in the slightest.
The amount of stressing that we're going to be doing, I refuse to count it as a holiday. It's why we watch sport. We all love it, really, but you feel so sick when it's coming. Thank you, everyone, for listening. If you're burning questions, please keep sending them in. Keep sending your R-mics in. Unless things go horribly wrong in Belfast, we'll be doing them all next week on the show. And I'm not sure whether I was referring to alcohol, the lagan, or ice hockey then. But hopefully we'll be back next week. Send us your thoughts in on the show as well. If there's anything that we do that you don't like, if there's anything you do that you really like, or ideas that we could, maybe improve it. We really would appreciate your feedback on that as well. And if you see us in Belfast, come and tell us, but we'll forget it because we'll all be far too merry on Guinness and cider. But again, thank you for listening, and that is your Red Army Roundup. Devil inside.